The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
So after reading Michael Wolff's new book, I'm posthumously giving it the working title, Hell Hath No Fury. I'm sorry. Hell Hath No Fire and Fury, Like a Steve Bannon Scorned. Fire and Fury must have been easier to fit on the binding because I can't think of any other reason why it's not actually labeled Like a Steve Bannon Scorned. They say the devil's greatest accomplishment was convincing the world that he doesn't exist, but Wolff rivals, he rivals this in convincing his readers that this book is actually about Donald Trump. It's not about Donald Trump. There's plenty of juicy Trump details to chew on here. You know, I'm sure some of it's true. I'm sure some of it isn't. And a lot of it is just rumor. I don't know if you read the book, but I read it so you didn't have to. Make no mistake, this is not a book about Donald Trump. The description on the front of the book says inside the Trump White House. That is just the vehicle used to highlight the real focus of this narrative. The narrative and the focus is Steve Bannon. And I say narrative because that's primarily what you're getting here. You get five parts confirmation of what you already knew about Trump. Yes, his election probably caught everybody by surprise, but also probably caught him by surprise. Yes, Trump and his team had zero political experience and they stumbled their way through the first 9 months. Got it. All confirmation of what you already knew. But you also get five parts rumor and tabloid level gossip. Did Trump really not want to win? He was just using this candidacy as a launching point for his new TV network? Maybe. Do we know for sure? No. Is his marriage with Melania that bad? Do we know? No. Does Trump really try to bed all of his friends' wives? We're probably not going to know any of this, but it didn't stop Wolff from publishing it. But put all that aside. The other 90% of the book was all Bannon. Trump's picture on the cover was the equivalent of bookstore clickbait. Bannon and his agenda was the constant throughout the entire book. According to Wolff, Steve was the only one in the administration that was smart, well-read, had a plan. Huh. Even things that could be considered as critical of Bannon were nothing that Bannon wouldn't take you and hold you by the shoulders and look you dead square in the eye and go, "Yep, that's me." For Bannon, Fire and Fury was about launching his next phase, and I believe he overplayed his hand. But the last paragraph of the book says it all. All he wanted to do was separate Bannonism from Trumpism. What he said in the last paragraph is the disruption had just begun. Trump, in Bannon's view, was a chapter or a detour in the Trump revolution, which had always been about weaknesses in the two major parties. The Trump presidency, however long it might last, had created the opening that would provide the true outsiders their opportunity to get in. Trump was just the beginning. I don't know who's reading this book and thinking it's all about Trump, but it isn't. It's all about what's coming next, and the next few years are going to be a wild, wild ride.
It's Monday, January 8th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You read the book, Stu?
I did. Happy vacation.
Happy vacation. Mm-hmm. I spent most of my vacation just reading. I read a series that I want to talk about called the Singularity series. It's a 4-book series. It's their novels. Great. I have to tell you about another book that is really tremendous. Everybody in this audience needs to read the first chapter of this book. You just read the first chapter of this book, and I guarantee you, you will say, Wolf book. Why would I even care about that? The most powerful chapter of anything I've ever read. And I'll tell you about that coming up. Also read the Wolf book, which I just couldn't get past. This is a book that was ghost written by Steve Bannon.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's funny because you get kind of two spins from the media right now. One is this is the you know, final nail in the coffin of the Trump administration. He's going to be impeached tomorrow.
No.
Right. That's what you get from the left. And from the right, you get this is all fake news. And it's like, really, it's not either of those things.
Nope.
What's interesting, there's some things. First of all, the big stuff is stuff said on the record in quotes that have not been disputed. The Steve Bannon stuff is stuff that he said that was quoted word for word that he has not denied he said. So to say that it's all fake news, it shows. I mean, even obviously the president knows it's not fake news in that he is, you know, separating himself from Steve Bannon because of it. Right. He took it seriously. We all know that was Steve Bannon said those things. And that is just if it was just those quotes, it's a notable book.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, when you read the book and you actually go through it, what you realize is it's notable not because whether the things that are said about Trump and the administration are true. It's notable because it's what Steve Bannon wants you to think about the Trump administration.
It is amazing to me that no one has picked up, or at least I haven't heard, no one has picked up that anyone who looks bad is a Steve Bannon enemy.
Just shockingly.
He comes out, if you are somebody who thinks like Steve Bannon, this is the key, the press doesn't understand Steve Bannon. They never will understand Steve Bannon. They don't understand the right, and they don't understand the alt-right. They don't understand the differences. There's huge differences between those. They just bottle it all up, and Steve Bannon is on the right, and so it's all this. But it's not.
Yeah.
Everything that comes out in the book about Steve Bannon are the things that Steve Bannon wants you to know about him, what he's building, where he's going, the difference between him and Trump, and Bannonism and Trumperism. I mean, this is, I honestly read this and thought, this is probably backed by Russia. This could have been written by the Russians, because it is such a covert op. It just felt like a Steve Bannon covert op.
Yeah, and most of the criticism, I mean, because Trump is obviously getting the media attention about this, but most of the criticism is really more about Jared and Ivanka and Hope Hicks.
Oh my
and
gosh.
All the people that he did, that
ruthless.
Bannon didn't get along with, yes. when he was there. It's all criticism of those people, because as we all know, this is not about Trump. It's never been about Trump. This is about Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon is all about him. It's all he cares about. He doesn't care about this movement. He doesn't care about any of it. He cares about him. And, you know, it proved out, I think, very well in this book. And he doesn't have that control to be the guy who is a puppet string guy. He wants everyone to know too badly,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
yes.
People who are good puppet string guys have the control of themselves to not tell everyone.
Roger Ailes was a good puppet string guy. He was so instrumental in strategy and everything else with the GOP. For instance, in this book, and I believe the Roger Ailes part, but just because it reads like Roger Ailes, may not be true. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I didn't know that Roger Ailes was offered the job that Steve Bannon eventually got, yeah. running the campaign. It makes sense, the reasons in there that Roger didn't want to do it. It all makes sense. It's very Roger Ailes. But Roger was not a guy to step up in the front. He preferred being in the back. Bannon doesn't. In the book, you'll find out Bannon wants to run for president. He is starting to say things like, when I'm president, I'm going to do this. Where he was apparently saying, if I were president, I would do this. The book is saying that basically he's going to be running for president in 2020. Don't know if that's true, but I think this book will give you enough of this out of control egomaniac,
yeah.
who is just reckless and dangerous.
And again, he didn't deny these quotes. He's now come out with this statement of, oh, I was talking about Manafort. You read the book. He mentions by name both Donald Trump Sr. and Donald Trump Jr. And is critical of them by name. His excuse is complete bullcrap designed only for people who didn't actually read the book.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's just assuming you won't know about those quotes because he lights them both up in there.
If you love Donald Trump, you need to read this book. You need to read it only because you need this is going to be hanging around for a long time, especially with what the president is doing. If I want to sell a bazillion copies of books, I'm going to put his face on it and I'm just going to say traitor to America. It won't have anything. It'll be Dr. Seuss stuff inside. It won't matter. It will sell a bazillion copies because the president will come out and say, how dare he say that I'm a traitor. He's selling more books for Wolf than Wolf is selling.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, this is he's crazy. You're totally right about that. It's interesting, though. You read like so many of those things in there. So many of the little tidbits are designed to make you think highly of Bannon and lower of Trump, yes. of Jared, of Ivanka, of Hope Hicks, of whoever. The one big nugget.
It didn't work for me.
It didn't either because it reads so, it's so transparent.
Ghost
that Bannon,
by Bannon.
Bannon is known as the big leaker in the White House. He did the same thing with the Joshua Green book that came out a few months ago. It's all Bannon, tons of interviews with Bannon, tons of stuff with Bannon. The guy just can't control himself. He can't. And there's this big tidbit in there that not a lot of people have talked about in the media that Trump wanted to name Giuliani to the Supreme Court instead of Gorsuch. Okay. And he decided
this is I think we're going in the same place. This is the point of the book where I went. This is Steve Bannon.
Exactly. Because the tidbit is designed to make you think because when Trump came out, if you remember, Gorsuch said something critical of Trump after he was named. He said, I don't like that, you know, basically said, I don't like that Trump's criticizing judges.
Yep.
And in the book, it says at that moment, Trump decided he was going to drop Gorsuch and go with Giuliani or Christie, I think it was. Mm-hmm. It was the other guy.
Yeah, Christie.
Right. It's like, how can that possibly be, right? Mm-hmm. But when you think about that and you put it in the frame of Steve Bannon basically writing the book, he wants you, the conservative, to believe that Trump had no loyalty. It was all Bannon that got the Gorsuch thing done. Trump didn't care about it. He was going to put he was going to put two pro-choice people in the Supreme Court. Yep. If it wasn't for Bannon, you would have had Giuliani or Christie.
And later do you see Donald Trump is running off with Republicans. And Bannon was like, no, don't do that.
No,
it's crazy.
He wanted to separate himself from Paul Ryan. Yeah. But then Trump said, no, Ryan's my guy. Did Trump really say Ryan's my guy?
So
really?
Here's the thing. You have to read this book because the media, as always, is missing the real story behind it. This is not a book about Donald Trump. This is a book of what Steve Bannon wants you to believe about Steve Bannon, Ivanka and Jared, and Donald Trump. He is betting that Trumperism is nationalist, socialist, extreme, isolationism. He wants you to believe that that's what it is. I don't think that's what Trump is. I think Trump is Trump, period. I think people like Trump. They want to believe in Trump. They will accept it from Trump. They're not going because he's an ideologue, because he's not an ideologue. This book is trying to say, if you really believed in anything, you really need to follow Steve Bannon and not Donald Trump. Press will never get that.
Glenn Beck.
You know, we're just talking about this Michael Wolff book and how the media just has it wrong again. This is a book that could have been ghostwritten by Steve Bannon. And maybe Michael Wolff doesn't understand how he's been used by Steve Bannon. But this is the book there's a reason why Steve Bannon allowed him to be whipped by the president for 5 days before he came out and said anything. If he was concerned about this book, he would have come out immediately and said, wait, that's not what I said. He just started to realize, oh, crap, maybe I'm not going to win this one.
Yeah, and it does not look like he's going to win this one.
No. And if you read the book, and you really need to, if you read the book, read it through the lens of what Steve Bannon wants you to believe. For instance, China's everything. Nothing else matters. If we don't get China right, then we don't get anything right. The whole thing is really simple. China is where Nazi Germany was in 29 or 30. The Chinese, like the Germans, are the most rational people in the world until they're not. And they're going to flip like Germany in the 30s. You're going to have a hyper-nationalist state, and once that happens, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. That's pretty astute. Whether you agree with it or not, that's pretty astute.
All right.
Who said that? Not Donald Trump. Steve Bannon. All of the stuff in there is like, yeah, Steve's the real... And
Steve's
Wolff,
the genius behind
Steve's the genius behind
this. He's the real president, is what he wants people to believe.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what
he
said.
Was the driving force behind everything.
And remember, when he left, he said that the presidency as we know it, meaning the good Donald Trump presidency, is over. That is what Steve Bannon said. That's not Glenn Beck saying that. That is Steve Bannon saying that. And I think, like, it's bizarre because I think now we're more pro-Trump than Steve Bannon is. They apparently hate each
and
other.
And Breitbart. Is Breitbart?
I don't know.
I don't read it, so I don't know. Are they defending him or abandoning him now?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know. For anybody who said, oh, you just hate Donald Trump when you're talking about Steve Bannon, these are all the things we warned you about with Steve Bannon.
Yeah, he is who we said he was.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is, you know, look... It's bizarre, and I think there's a lot when you go through the book. People get sidetracked by some of the stuff that I don't think is necessarily Bannon related. Some of the crazy sexual stuff that's in there.
And this is where the media is focused, and it's doing you a grave disservice. It's doing everyone on the right a grave disservice because they're making this all about Donald Trump and some of the titillating things in there that you don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah.
You can dismiss and take all of that stuff out of the book, and it's still an important book to read.
Take everything out of the book except for the stuff that's on record in quotes that has not been denied.
Yes.
And you have a very meaningful book because you get to know what these people thought. And I think you can fairly look at the book and think a lot of it's exaggerated, that some of it might not be true. But what is interesting about the book is these are what insiders, almost all Steve Bannon, but not exclusively, what insiders want you to think about what's going on there. That's why it's interesting. It's their way of telling you what they think behind the scenes. And, you know, this is the way they translate. That's the way these things happen.
Yeah.
And there's
this is a message. It really is. It's a message book. It's a message from at least Steve Bannon. I don't know who else might have been involved, but it's a message book. It's exactly what Stu just said. What they want you to think about this administration. Steve Bannon is so passive aggressive. Oh, I'm the best friend of the president. Really? Are you? Because look at the quotes in the book. And how you describe him and his family. That's not what you want people to actually believe.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm sorry, we just keep going. You know, Stu and I haven't seen each other for a couple of weeks, and we just keep coming back to this Wolff book. I think if you are a a person who believes that Donald Trump can do no wrong and is up at night reading all the reports and laying out policies and everything else, you will hate this book. If you're someone who thinks that Donald Trump is really not that interested, he's going to be the president and, you know, he just wants to be the guy, the front guy, and he's letting other people do the policy and he's not that interested, you will dislike this book. Because
really selling it,
I know. Because, well, I'm just telling you the truth. We read it so you didn't have to. However, after reading it, I think you should read it. I just want to buckle your seatbelts, because they make the president, and it's really, I think, only in the first part of the book where it's relentless, that shows that the president had no intention. This, according to the book, I don't know if any of this is true. I don't think this is the important part of the book, though. Because I can dismiss all of this. It shows that, you know, he wasn't really interested in being president, didn't expect to win. This nonsense about Melania, you know, crying at night because she now is going to be at the White House and she doesn't want to be. I don't know if that's true. How do you even verify that?
No, it's just all rumor. Again,
right. So you're going to hate that part of it. However, the Bannon stuff is so intriguing, especially when it comes to Russia. I mean, Bannon came out and said, I was stopped making this about Manafort. How were you making that meeting in Trump Tower about Manafort? That doesn't even make sense.
No.
Everything that is said about this book is said for people that haven't read this book. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And it's interesting because when these are dances between, you know, all these news stories are dances between PR people and the source material. And it's Bannon gets this book written. He gets his message out there without having his direct fingerprints on there. And the price he pays for it is at times that, you know, the author takes some shots at him. He's presented. It's a lot of it's take presented as what how a liberal would criticize Steve Bannon. But of
yep.
course, that's what he thrives on.
Yep.
That's his lifeblood. Right?
That's fine. He knows that anybody who is a conservative that will read this book and believes in nationalism, statism, and isolationism, he knows that a Michael Wolff writing bad things about him in liberal speak.
Yeah.
Is going to make him stronger.
Right. There's a part where he's criticized, the book author, the Wolf criticizes him essentially for taking on Roy Moore and saying that he was so ultra right that he couldn't possibly be elected. This is before they knew the outcome. Mm-hmm. It was looking at it through the primary process. But of course, that's what Bannon wants you to think, that right. he would support the ultra right guy. And that part of the way
they frame Donald Trump and Bannon, this is a real turning point where you're like, okay, this is clearly ghostwritten by Bannon, because in that part, it's why would Donald Trump take on Mitch McConnell's guy? He had nothing to gain, and it just right, seemed unreasonable.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And Bannon knew that, you know, the people will connect with a real conservative. He had his research down. You're like, what?
And you could read more about this at Breitbart.com/Bannon. It was very transparent reading it, that the main source of the book, not the exclusive source. I think, you know, there were other things that happened.
Yeah.
But the main source of the book, overwhelming majority of stuff came from Bannon and Bannon allies, yep. You know, people who were there earlier parts of the Trump run, and also people who hung around even after Bannon was there. I mean, there's so much on the record that the book does not need to. You don't need to look at any of the rumors to understand that there's something here. It's just that the media is, as they do, trying to take something and make it into something bigger and about Donald Trump when it's really not. I mean, there's a lot there in the relationship between Trump and Bannon that's notable. So Trump's a player, obviously. But it's more about, if you were going to get a real interview with Steve Bannon about how he really feels about Donald Trump and how he really feels about conservatives and how he really feels about himself.
It's in this book.
It's in the book. He tells you what he thinks is most important is him. Steve Bannon believes the most important thing in the universe is Steve Bannon. And he's very clear about that throughout this book.
You see any movies over the holiday?
I tried to see as many as possible.
Did you?
I did.
I saw two. What did you see?
I saw at least three in the theater.
Did you see Darkest Hour yet?
I haven't. Oh, I'm dying to see it.
I'm going. I'm taking all my kids and my family tonight. You want to come? Come.
Very cool.
You will love it. You will love it.
I really want to see it.
Yeah. Really good.
I saw All the Money in the World.
Did you see that? How is it? No.
It's very good. I liked it. It wasn't like the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, it looked so good.
I will say, too, Christopher Plummer seems like a much better choice for the movie than Kevin Spacey anyway. Mm. I guess one of the reasons why they were able to reshoot it so fast after Kevin Spacey's issues was because one of the big issues with Spacey was they had to put on a lot of makeup to make him look like an older actor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Christopher Plummer had that built in. Like, he just walked in and was already in the old person makeup. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But he was really good in it, and the story's really fascinating. So I liked it. It was very good. I also saw Molly's Game.
Was any good?
Yeah, really good. I liked it a lot. It's a story, if you don't know it, is about how a woman set up a poker game with all like mega celebrities.
Looks so
good.
You know,
Tobey Maguire and Leonardo DiCaprio and everything else, and how she got busted and that whole process. But it was very well done and good. I also saw the P.T. Barnum thing.
Oh, I'm interested to see what you think. I bet you hate it.
Well, I was interested in it because I'm interested in that story. You know, the story of P.T. Barnum, how he built, you know, this circus.
That's
right?
Not this show. That's not this movie.
No.
No.
This
is the greatest showman.
Yeah.
It's a musical.
What you find out pretty early on is they sing a lot.
Oh, you didn't know
that?
And
they dance a lot. You notice the entire trailer, there's 1 second they show them lip syncing music. The rest of it, they're like, this isn't a musical. We swear it's not a musical. Look, there's just this is an interesting story.
There is no way I thought that was anything but a musical.
They don't show it in the trailer. Now,
I don't know how I walked in knowing full well musical.
I looked into it, and I am not a fan of musicals. So going in, this is not something that I wanted to see. And it was interesting the way it was presented, because I was interested in the story about, here's a guy, an average guy, who made this thing that circus, we all still, even though it just ended.
And show business.
Ended. Yeah, he was basically the inventor of this in one telling. And certainly of the circus, he's the guy. And you think, like, what is the amazing brilliance of this man to accomplish this? According to the movie, not much. He just walked in and happened to see people and was like, you're signed up. Never heard you do anything before. Never seen you perform. You're the star of the show. Hey, you, I felt bad for you in one meeting.
No, you're missing it.
It was terrible.
No, you're missing it.
It made him look like
here
it was just
a genius. He was tucking his daughter into bed. She said, you have too many dead things. He looked over at her book and went, my daughter's right. And then he did all of that.
Right, exactly. It was all. It made it seem like there was nothing but
this
a bunch of random coincidences that led to this, which I thought was stupid. And then the other part of it is the songs. Quickly on the songs.
Yeah.
Because I know you have no problem with musicals.
Yeah.
So you're in this world. But what does it bring you? What does the musical bring you? It's just a way of saying the same thing over and over and over again.
Yes.
It's like instead of saying like he was very determined, he was really, 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 really determined. He was so determined that you wouldn't believe how determined he was. He really tried really hard all the time, all the time, all the time. He did it because he's determined. And it's like, we got it. You said he was determined.
Right.
It was the
first
part.
Well, if you take the music out, this is like a 2-minute show.
It is.
Yes.
And it was that, so I did not like it.
I had the exact opposite review.
Of course.
You know, I walked in expecting a musical, and I really liked it. I thought it was uplifting. About halfway through, I started down a path that you just don't want to go, and that was, did any of the actors, did any of the directors, is anybody in Hollywood, anybody in New York, all the highfalutin people, have they read the script? Because the enemy is the highfalutin, high society New York elites that are doing everything to destroy a man who just wants people to feel good. The hero of the story is a guy who just says, yeah. Yeah, I bend things a bit, but Feels good, doesn't it? I'm just doing a show. And the New York elites will not accept him, not accept that premise. They won't accept any of the people who are in the circus because they are show people and they are freaks. And the elites stir the bad part of the populace up to get them. And I thought to myself, huh, not a lot has changed since the 1800s, has it? See, you can get things out of musicals.
No, you can. I will say, too, the sad thing is it took over, 100 years? But in the end, I mean, the elites got what they want.
Yeah.
They shut it down because they didn't want elephants to walk through the streets.
Right.
And now that thing is dead. The circus is gone because eventually they got their way. It took a long time, though.
We're abusing Chinese people now in Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, so that's going away, too?
Well, over time, you've got to realize, wait a minute. Those three Chinese kids, they had to be taken from their parents at about 2 to be able to be this good.
It's not the left-wing communist government's fault.
It's
Cirque du Soleil.
It's Cirque du Soleil. Mm-hmm. That, it's their fault.
Glenn Beck.
Boy, there is a lot to cover. Today, by the way, at 5 o'clock, we are going to cover the Michael Wolff book, ghostwritten by Steve Bannon. We're going to cover that. All of the things that we think the media and everybody else is missing, and show you in detail what this book really is all about. We'll do that at 5 o'clock today. You don't want to miss that. Of course, everybody on the left is shouting for Oprah Winfrey to be president of the United States and for her to run in 2020.
Was that an old shtick? I feel like they've been talking about Oprah for a long time. Now, all of a sudden.
No, but she just gave a speech.
She gave a speech. And she has everything that Trump has, right? Like, she's got lots of money.
Yep.
She's got lots of personality. She checks all the right boxes.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a I'm not surprised they're pushing for it. That's for sure.
She would, if you're on the left, she's a great candidate.
I don't know. I mean, I would say, I don't know that we desire policy specifics anymore out of candidates.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And I don't,
it's a likability
on either
contest.
Side. Yeah, I think it is. And she obviously can pull that off. Whether she doesn't seem like particularly well versed in any political topic.
Is that necessary?
I don't
anymore?
Know that
was
it is.
Is it necessary the last one?
Well, I mean, I don't know that it is really. Like, very little of it comes from that. But usually you have to be able to fake it, right? She doesn't even seem to be able to do that. Or she doesn't attempt to do it. She does seem intelligent, right?
Yeah.
So could she pick these things up? I mean, yeah. It's all about.
I don't think this is what America's looking for anymore.
I don't think
they really care. I mean, I want somebody who knows what the hell they're doing and is up on all of the policies. I'd like that. I think that's important, but I don't know if America does anymore.
Yeah. I guess it is one of those things you're really looking for. It's actually becoming more similar to the way England does it. Right. Great Britain has a queen who is just a figurehead, and they do things that make you reverent of the country, right? Like, it's what you want the country to believe. It's like it's a figurehead, and it's someone who is,
Yeah, that's bad.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not advocating for this position.
I'm just saying,
like, we do seem to be, we want someone who's going to kind of represent, how we feel.
Yeah.
And in Great Britain, a lot of time, there's that pomp and circumstance, which is part of their heritage, where it's mm-hmm. not here. It's the exact opposite, and we kind of want that now. We want someone who's bigger than life. That's America, right? Someone who's going to be able to, who's that big personality, put an exclamation point on your beliefs. And that's not just, because obviously Trump, I think, does that for a lot of people, but Oprah does that for a lot of people, too. And, of course, the left will never see the similarities there, I don't think. But
it would be wild to see those two battle. Because, the lines would be drawn. Nobody's going to move their positions.
No.
Debate, it doesn't even matter. Just hold the election. She announces, we hold the election. Because nobody's going to change their position.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.